while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Last week, Sunday, Elder Isaac opened up with, do you know the salvation plan the Father designed? Today is, do you know the ultimate sacrifice the Son made? And then the following Sunday that's coming up will be, do you know the new life the Spirit gives? So excited to hear that on Easter Sunday. So I'll be honest with you, church, I am prepared for this sermon. I actually wrote two sermons for this this Good Friday, and none of them were right, none of them were right at all. And I thought, God, just stop trying to make it all perfect. Not everything is perfect. Sometimes things are a bit messy and you don't know what's going to happen. And it kind of made me think about the disciples when they saw Jesus being crucified. They thought that there was going to be something perfect happening, and instead they saw their Savior being killed on a cross. And I'm sure to them that felt really messy. They didn't understand really what was happening. But we know that God was working something good. So, I have a few notes, and we trust the Lord that he will speak to us all today. So, Good Friday, the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. And to be honest, church, I actually cannot talk about the cross without mentioning sin, because if there was no sin, we wouldn't need the cross. So it's not that sin is greater than the cross, it's just that if there was no sin, we wouldn't need the cross. So I can't speak about the cross without mentioning the problem of sin. And some people say, you know, you can't use the word sin anymore because nobody understands what sin means, because, you know, people are not, they're not aware of the Bible. And so I'm like, that doesn't mean we don't use the word sin anymore. It means we explain what sin actually means. And so sin is disobeying God, disobeying his commandments, turning away from him. And we can look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, if you want some ideas of what sin is. And so I've got the list here before me. So we've got sexual immorality, lack of self-control, jealousy, envy, fits of rage, drunkenness, resentment, idols, idolatry, slander, gossip, bad mouthing, lying, and I'm sure once we look through the Bible, we'll see there's a lot more in there. And I can be honest with myself, and I hope you can be honest with yourselves too, and know that these are some of the things that we have done, or these are some of the things that we continue to do. And so what it points out to us is that we all sin. The unfortunate thing is that many people think that there's no such thing as sin. Many people think that they don't need a savior. Many people think that they don't need to be saved, that there's no such thing in the cross. It's like, thank you, Jesus, but yeah, no, thank you, I'm good on my own. And one way to spiritually describe these people is as spiritually dead. Elder Isaac told us that last week, Sunday, that if we're not with God, if we haven't made peace with God, then we're spiritually dead. And it just made me think of the scripture about, you know, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. And so if you haven't come to God, if you haven't accepted Christ, then you are dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 reminds us that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to think about how many people just have the wrong idea completely of God. So many people think that God is just this angry God. He sits in heaven and he wags his finger at us all the time. He doesn't want us to experience any joy, any fun. He just puts all these restrictions in place. He's not a God who wants us to be free. And I was actually one of those people too. I was like, yeah, like, God, you just want to take our joy away. But I couldn't have been further away from the truth. When we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 to 31, This is after, you know, God has created the heavens and the earth. He's created the sun, the moon, the stars, the sea, the air, the birds, the creatures, the waters. He's completed earth, and it's perfect. And he looks and he says, it's good. And once he's created this absolute masterpiece that we have, he sees, something's missing. And he decides to make humankind, me and you, in his image, in his likeness. He created us male and female, nothing outside of that, nothing inside of that, male and female, just to put that out there. And he created us that way. And when he finished, he said this, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. Very good. And the thing about the creation story is that after God creates everything, section by section, he says it's good. Only after he finishes creating everything, and then humans, and then telling us to, this is yours, rule and subdue it, does he say it's very good. Very good. Now, that doesn't sound like a God to me who doesn't want us to enjoy anything, doesn't want us to have any freedom, doesn't want to give us all these rules, doesn't provide for us. That sounds to me like a God who is giving, a God who loves, a God who is kind, a God who wants us to have freedom and to enjoy everything that he created. And if we know about the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were with God, they were in his presence, there was no obstacles to go into God. He was there with them. He provided for them. That was the way it was supposed to be. But of course, we know Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They sinned, disobeyed God. He told them not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did. And it's because of that that sin has entered into the world. It's because of that that now we're born into sin. We're born into darkness. Because they decided that actually what God has said isn't true. I'm going to go my own way. And we've done it over the ages. We decide that our way is the right way and we go that way and we end up lost. We think that our way leads to freedom and our way leads to slavery. God gave us freedom back then. And then we ended up in slavery, slavery to sin, slavery to the flesh. And ever since that happened, God has made a plan for us to be free again. And that plan came in Jesus Christ. You see, there's a big problem with sin. It separates us from God. We can't hear from God. We don't know what God is trying to tell us to do. We don't want to do anything God has told us to do, which everything he tells us to do is good and pleasing, by the way. And it brings us joy and it brings us peace. But because we're covered in darkness, because we're wrapped up in sin, we can't see it. We're blinded to the truth of his word and to who he is. So what is a God supposed to do with people who don't want anything to do with him? People who have turned their backs on him. People that say, I don't want to go your way, I'm going to go this way. People that don't even know that they need saving. What is God supposed to do? And I read a book once that said, I don't know, perhaps if I was God, maybe I would show them my circumstance that they need me. God did that. He sent the flood. The people were captives in Egypt, and then later on they became captives again. Then the writer says, oh, well, maybe I would just tell them. I'll send people to tell them. And God did that. He sent prophets to tell them that I am your God, to show them the way that they should be living. And then the writer says, well, maybe, just maybe, if I really cared that much, if I really loved my people that much, I might come as myself. And God did that in Jesus. He came and he taught us. He taught the people about who God is, about God's desire for man, about how to live. He came and he dwelt amongst people and he showed love and he showed kindness. And he spoke about the kingdom of God and he spoke about repenting, for the kingdom of God is near. But many people dismissed what he was saying. They didn't believe what he had to share with them. And so I'll go to our main scripture reading, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 10. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, whilst we were still ungodly, whilst we were still saying, God, I don't need you, while we were saying, God, I'm going to go my own way, God demonstrated his love for us and that he sent Christ to die for us on the cross. Why did Christ need to die for us on the cross? Because our sins, we said it before in the service earlier on, the wages of sin is death. God can't overlook our sins. Our sins can't go unpunished. Otherwise, we wouldn't serve a just God. How can God just let people get away with anything? That's not the God that we serve. If he says the penalty of sin, the wages of sin is death, then that is what it is. But God is like, no, I want them to know me. I want them to be able to come to me. I want them to know who I am. I want them to receive blessings. I want them to rejoice in the goodness of who I am, and I won't let Satan take them. And so what's supposed to happen when we have all these sins? Someone needs to pay the price for us. Someone perfect, someone blameless, someone who is willing. And that person was Jesus Christ. He took all of our sins, every single one of them, not one is missed out. And he carried them on the cross. And he died the death that we should have died. He took all of it upon him and crucified it on the cross. And so our sins are now forgiven. Our past, our present, and our future sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Verse 10 says, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled?" And it's the word enemy that always gets me. While we were God's enemies, the definition of an enemy, I was like, let me look up the actual definition of an enemy. It's a person who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. Whilst we were actively opposed to God, Jesus still died for us. I don't know about you, I'm going to be honest. If I have an enemy, I don't even want to look at you. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to know you. This was before. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to know you. You hurt me. So why should I do anything for you at all? And whilst Jesus, he died on the cross, don't forget that there were people that were mocking him, people that were abusing him. He died for the same people that put a crown of thorns on his head. He died for the same people that whipped him. He died for the same people that didn't believe what he was saying. He died for people who hurt him. And when we have enemies, sometimes we hold so much bitterness and so much stuff against them. But scripture reminds us that love does not keep a record of wrongs. While Jesus walked to that cross knowing that he was going to die for those people, he didn't keep a record of wrongs on them. He was selfless. And he still paid the ultimate price for them, knowing that they probably won't ever accept what he's done for them on the cross. And yet he still did it. God didn't wait for us to be reformed before he sent his son to die for us on the cross. And Jesus doesn't call you to be reformed before you accept what he did on the cross. He says, come as you are. Believe in me. Believe what I did for you on the cross. Receive eternal life. Receive new life. And I'm trying not to step into the resurrection because that would just be going into Pastor Deji's sermon. I'm trying not to go there. So receive from me the forgiveness of sins. And I'm going to go back to our other scripture, which is Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50-52. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, in the Old Testament, the temple had the area of the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwelled. And only the high priest could enter in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And it was sectioned off by a veil. And on the day that Jesus was crucified, on the day that he died, the moment he took his last breath, that veil was torn in two. Which shows that the way to go to God has now been opened. There's no veil anymore. There's no restrictions anymore because you have been made clean. You've been washed in the blood of Christ, so you are no longer sinless. And when God looks at you, he sees righteousness because of what Christ did on the cross. The earth shook. And one of the things I want to point out before I bring this to a close, I know I've gone over, forgive me. Jesus' birth. When Jesus was born, there was a star in the sky that showed where he had been born. See, the universe signaled that a savior has been born. God made the universe signal that my son has been born to save you. And on the day that he died, the universe made it, the earth shook. There was another shaking that took place to say, it is finished. So at his birth, God made a universe move. And at his death, God made a universe move. That's because Jesus Christ wasn't just anybody. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior. And because of the work he did on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice, he gave himself so that we could live. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Without blemish and free from accusation. if you continue in your faith established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Amen. I just want to close with the words that Jesus says, and the way he invites everyone who hasn't yet accepted him as his, as your Savior. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you indeed will be saved.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.